Blessings to you, Megan. Thank you so much for your chair and your service. And what a wonderful meeting, and what a very, very cool way to start it off. Newcomers, welcome. What a powerful, powerful way to bring in this meeting. You are very, very welcome, and your sobriety matters here, and you can feel it. I am very new too, as you heard my sobriety date. I have a sobriety date by the grace of a very loving God. Good sponsorship and rooms just like these, fellowship and squares of folks just like you. I have not found it necessary to have a drink since 9:25, and been sober since then, just like Meg said. And so that is just a little bit over 9 months as we are celebrating here. Founders Week, 91 years of Alcoholics Anonymous is really more important. Because I do this one day at a time with all of you. That's all I really have. My name is Jared. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm extremely grateful to be here with all of you in my home group on this Saturday and bring a topic and share a little bit of experience, strength, and hope with you. Yeah, this group here, this Zoom group online here, been a massive part of my sobriety, my recovery, in 9 short months. I'll just say it saved my life. AA has saved my life, not just changed it. So if you're new, we say stick and stay. They told me that just like when I got here, I was on the reverse end, and I feel you. So please stick and stay. Again, my name is Jared, J Rod. And I am an alcoholic from Omaha, Nebraska. And I do just kind of want to share a little bit about kind of myself and the topic of the F word. And no, I'm not talking about the cuss word that, we don't bring profanity into our room here. Some other rooms let it happen. And I kind of like that profanity isn't a part of this room, but I'm not here to talk about that word. I'm here to talk about a different F word that this book really talks about. And I'm going to kind of talk about it through a story a little bit about a forest. There's one F word. And because when I look back on my drinking, I've been working on this story a little bit. Bits and pieces through my higher power, and it's kind of all over the place and far from done, but nearly is my journey of recovery, and no, nor will it be until I am in spending the rest of my life somewhere else, not on this earth. But for me, life before AA was, I don't remember it as a series of bad decisions or arrests, hangovers, and broken relationships or consequences, right? I remember it as being very lost and completely, utterly lost. For me, alcoholism was a very dark and terrifying forest. And not the kind of forest that you see on a postcard, not a peaceful place. I'm talking about a very cold, terrifying wilderness where the trees are so thick and they black out the sunlight, a place where the air feels heavy, where every shadow looks threatening. And where every unfamiliar sound makes your heart race. I'm talking about fear, folks. That F word. Fear in a very terrifying forest, and the forest is alcoholism that I lived in. And I lived in this terrifying forest with no map and no compass and no guide, no idea where the F I was, no idea how to get anywhere home, didn't even know where a trail was. The alcoholism, that's what alcoholism felt like for me, untreated alcoholism felt like for me. At first, you don't realize you're lost. You have no idea that or you really think everything's under control. You think you're smarter than everyone else. That was me. My solution to life was always me. My thinking, my plans, my will, my ideas, my intelligence, my strength, my pride. That was everything besides the alcohol. My forest was me trying to get my way out of it. I'd promised myself things would be different every time. My resolutions, my mornings of sorries. I'd swear this time I meant it. I'd try to control my drinking for everybody else, never for myself. Eventually, I wasn't just lost, I'd be trapped in that forest. That forest was fear. Fear of what people thought, fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of the future, fear of not getting what I wanted, fear of losing what I had, fear of living, fear of dying. The big book tells us fear was an evil and corroding thread. Nobody really understands when we get in here. I fear I was the toughest person in the room. I was the most scared little boy in the room. Alcohol became my surviving tool. At least I thought it was. Alcohol was my flashlight. Alcohol was my blanket. Alcohol was my escape route. Alcohol was my comfort. It was my tent. It was my courage. It was my medicine. Until it became my prison. Until, because it was the thought that it was keeping me alive, it was slowly killing me. That's the insanity of the alcoholism. But I didn't know that when I got here. The very thing destroying us becomes the thing we believe we cannot live without. I didn't know that when I got here. You folks teach me that every day. I have to stay teachable. I have to set aside the things I think I know every single day. I was lost. I was cold. I was exhausted, terrified, walking in circles. The worst part wasn't that I was lost. It was the part that I still thought I could save myself. My ego and my pride, that's alcoholism. The disease doesn't just tell us lies. It tells us I don't need help. I don't need you. I don't need a higher power. Tells us we're different. Tells us we're smarter. Tells us we can figure it out. I can get a different trail. I can still do this. I can find my way out of the forest. Even with a broken leg, scarred up, infections, dying. The truth is, self-reliance could have gotten me sober, right? We've heard this one before. I would have been sober a long time ago. I wouldn't need you. If intelligence could have saved me, I've heard this before. This isn't my words. I would have been saved. You folks taught me that. I didn't know that when I got here. If willpower could have saved me, I would have been saved. You folks taught me that. I didn't know that when I got here. Desperation. The gift of desperation was the first thing I heard in this meet in my first meeting here by a lovely, lovely old timer, but she likes the term vintage, and I'll never forget that. The kind of desperation where the pain of staying same finally becomes greater than the fear of change. That's when I heard a voice, right? We all get to this point. I went to a treatment center. The voice belonged to another alcoholic, actually, after the treatment center. The treatment center was a spin dry. That really didn't keep me sober. Someone who had been in the same forest. Someone who had wandered that same darkness, who'd been through the same hell. Someone who'd found a way out, a sponsor, a guide. Told me something that I didn't really want to hear. He told me if I wanted a different life, I was going to have to stop being the leader. I was going to have to follow some new directions. I was going to have to trust God, a higher power, I was gonna have to work some steps. I was gonna have to become teachable. I was gonna have to start learning how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. My self-will got me lost, folks. My pride had got me lost. I was living in fear my whole life in a very dark forest. When I started submitting, started trusting, started having faith, that F word, faith in a forest and not living in fear, I can live in that forest. I can live in that forest. The big book says the great fact is this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. God entered it. As I worked the steps with the sponsor, I reconnected with the higher power. I'm gonna fast forward because we're getting into 10 minutes and that's where I'm kind of getting forward, but God built it. We just tend it, right? We get to the fire. The sponsor got me to the fire. You all are the fire. You all have been through the forest. You all have been battered and bruised and ripped to shreds. You all get me. Stop. You all understand what we have been through together. We've been through the hell together, right? Fear. We all understand it. We don't really want to talk about it. But you understand what a fire of warmth, right? That's what AA is. It's comfort. You guys welcomed me with hope, fellowship, a room around a fire. That's what this is. How many times have I failed on my own? Nobody around this fire claims that they built it. God built it. We just tend the fire. We add wood to it. We keep it burning and we make room for the next suffering alcoholic. Today I'm understanding that something I never understood before. You teach me that. I didn't know that when I got here. I thought I built the fire. God never abandoned me, not once. I want to touch a little bit on about I know where the fire is now. Not because I'm special. Not because I'm sober. Not because I've been here. Today, I still visit the edge of the forest, and I know that I can go into the forest because I have the other F word, faith, a spiritual experience that I have to keep every single day, working these steps, service. My sponsor brought me to the fire, and he looked at me, and I looked at him like he was going back in the forest, and he sure as was. And I said, what are you doing? He said, well, you're going to sit here safe and get warm with all these folks. I got to go back and get two more. Because what? Yes. He's going back in the forest of alcoholism. Because that's what sponsor, that's what service is. That's what I've just understanding what this program is. The F word. Alcoholism to me is a forest that I couldn't get out of by myself. I needed a guy to get me back on a trail, to connect me with the higher power through these steps. Survival gear. A compass. Step one. Admitting. Right? We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. The first thing a lost person needs is honesty. Step one is a compass. Maybe, right? We can look at it like that. It's a point of truth. I'm powerless over alcohol. My life became unmanageable. Without a compass, I wander in circles. Step two, I came to believe I have to have a map. Once I admit I'm lost, I need hope. The map tells me there's a way out. A proven way. Others have survived this wilderness before me. AA is a trail map drawn by people who've escaped. Step three can be a beacon, right? I made a decision. There is where I finally stopped acting like my own rescue team. Step
Five
three
minutes,
was
Jerry.
me finally saying, God, I quit running the show. Thank you, timekeeper. Step four is a flashlight, made a searching and fearless moral inventory. Now the light comes on, honestly, resentments and the fear. I don't have to be so full of fear, selfishness, dishonesty, manipulation. The fact that I can dig through my life with a flashlight and another alcoholic, honestly. Step five, a radio. I can admit it's a radio call, right? I can admit to God and ourselves and another human being. Lost people die alone. They need a radio to call out. Survivors make contact. Step six, throwing out dead weight. If I got a heavy backpack, probably gonna die. We're entirely ready to drop some rocks. Every survival expert says travel light. I spent years carrying things that were killing me in a forest full of fear, scared of my own shadow. But I thought I was the toughest person ever. But I went to a bartender and the dope man, full of pride, ego, control, anger, and self-pity. Step seven was a water filter. Humbly asked him, dirty water can look clean. Character defects are the same way, folks. I justified them, I defended them, I protected them. Step eight, it's a repair kit. I made a list. As I traveled through life, I broke things. Trust, relationships, friendships, families, promises. Step eight is an inventory of damage. It's massive. And it's not a one and done. We do it the rest of our lives, a journey. I just made a massive forgiveness. It took a cinder block off of me, folks. Resentment is our biggest offender, Bill W. tells us. I promise you, forgiveness will change your life. Step nine, the sewing needle and the fire starter. Make direct amends, right? Amends are uncomfortable. Fear is uncomfortable. But torn things don't get repaired without stitching. Step nine sewed a lot of things together, and they will continue to sew things together for the rest of my life as I continue to make them. Integrity. Step 10. We got to have daily hygiene. If I'm dying of an infection, if I'm not healing my wounds, if I'm not putting my bandages on, I'm gonna die of gangrene. Continue to take a personal inventory and survival situation. Infection kills quickly. Tiny cuts become life-threatening when ignored. Step 10 keeps me spiritually clean. I have to keep a daily inventory, spiritually fit. I just shared the other day on page 156, June 1935, the first AA meeting, three men in a hospital. The two men, Bob and Bill, were presented with life issues. We are all the time, daily, right? We have to stay spiritually fit. A daily inventory keeps me spiritually fit. Where did I go wrong today? Step 11, it's a GPS connection sought through prayer and meditation. Spent years listening to myself. Everything was on my own. That got me lost. Not occasionally, I have to use GPS daily. And step 12, it's a rescue rope. Just like my sponsor ran back in that forest. Here's the miracle. I thought the goal was getting out of the woods. No, folks, we got to run back in. Fear, the F word, in the forest. No, we go with faith. Faith in the forest, folks. Faith. That's how we do this. With faith, fully surrendering our lives. God bless you all. My name is J-Rod. I'm an alcoholic. I love you. This group saved my life. We cannot do this alone. I tried it. And I would have died in that forest. Be well.